what kind of thing? Yeah.
Okay. I'm sure Senator Morris will be here soon. Convening the Joint Committee on Ways and Means, Subcommittee on Human Services. It's today is Thursday, June 5th. We're just perking right along. We have a public hearing and possible work session on House Bill 2153. House Bill 2153 relates to immunization of registries. And with that, I know we have Danella Dodson with us today. Are you going to be here doing both?
Yes.
So why don't you, might as well come and set up front. And
Paige,
you just might as well come up and sit up front. We also have with us Rosie and Rosette. Rosette is, we want to thank Katie for contributing Rosette. She didn't want Rosie to be by herself, so she brought Rosette up thinking that we're going to put so much money in the two pigs that we'll have an awful lot to donate to to the Oregon Food Bank, and she just brought the purse too. So that was the signal that to make certain that you don't say an awful lot of acronyms today, because acronyms spell greenbacks in this committee. Why don't we go ahead and get started to hear House Bill 2153. Ms. Jones.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2153 allows the Department of Human Services to share immunization registry information with other state registries. LFO recommends approval of this bill.
Ms. Dodson.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, my name is Danelda Dodson. I'm the administrator for the Office of Family Health, and we oversee the immunization program and the immunization registry. This bill, House Bill 2153, would authorize our ability to have interstate sharing of information. The immunization registry is called ALERT. ALERT is just ALERT. It doesn't stand for anything other than the immunization registry.
So, excuse me, Senator Carter, you can't collect.
Well, yes.
I'm sure I'll offer you other opportunities.
That seems like a kind of a gray area to me. I'm not sure that's not a collectible fine.
I do tend to be a little demonstrative, though.
Well, this is a topic that we're all very passionate about, so that was the Immunization Registry Alert was created in about 1996 to allow the state to collect immunizations recorded in a data bank for all preschool children. This bill would allow us to share information with other states. Currently, about 83% of the private providers participate with the immunization registry, and we have over 12 million immunization registered within that registry. And it's about 93% of all preschool immunizations are listed there. So this bill would allow us to exchange this information with other states, especially in those areas where we have border states, like in the Portland area, over in the Ontario area, down in Ashland, Medford. Many of those individuals may go back and forth across the states. And so it would allow us to be able to exchange that information to be assured that those children are getting adequate immunization levels, that we aren't re-immunizing children that do not need to be re-immunized, and that families are currently up to date on their immunizations. It's a very simple bill in that it would allow us to do that. Currently, our current statute does not allow us to exchange this information with another state. The other point is that many of our health plans also may serve individuals on those border, in those border areas. For example, Kaiser currently serves individuals in the Portland area and in the Vancouver area. And for them to be able to keep that straight as to which immunizations those families have, it's difficult for them to share that information with the other state. The other point I guess I could make about this is that we do know that 60 to 70% of families do not complete their immunizations at the same place where they begin their immunization. So again, that is why we need that ability to be able to exchange information.
Ms. Dodson, there was a question as to the cost.
There is no cost.
No cost?
For the in this bill.
Okay.
That's in the other bill. Oh, were you going to say that? I'm sorry. Okay.
That's okay. We're on 2153 right now, right? Not 2244. has everyone, is there any questions? Can I have a motion from someone to accept?
So moved, Madam Chair. I'll do the health stuff.
Okay, you do the health stuff. I'll do the education stuff. That works for me.
Representative Bates moved that we accept the request for House Bill 2153 that authorizes interstate sharing of immunization registry information to the full committee. Is there any objection? Hearing none. Thank you.
Madam Chair, just as a curiosity, why did this bill come to this committee if it doesn't have a fiscal impact?
It's not unusual for bills that relate to other activities within the scope of budget to come down to Ways and Means, even though it doesn't have fiscal impact.
Okay. Thank you.
The second one is House Bill 2244. Relating to immunization registries. Go ahead, Donelda. Ms. Dodson.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, again, for the record, I am Donelda Dodson, the administrator for the Office of Family Health, here speaking in favor of House Bill 2244, which would allow us to collect fees to maintain the immunization registry alert. Again, this is a partnership between public and private providers. We maintain a lot of records in the registry from the private sector. We have no substantial funding base for the immunization registry. When we first created this, some of the costs of the registry were funded through our grant dollars from Centers for Disease Control, and some of it came from a matching process that we had with our Medicaid partners, and then for health systems in collaboration funded the rest of the cost for the registry to assure that the public and private providers could participate in the registry. This bill would allow us to charge fees for utilization of the registry. Currently, it's been on a voluntary basis, and it would continue to be on a voluntary basis, but it would allow us to say if you want to utilize the registry to get information for a quality assurance aspect of your particular practice, then we could charge a fee. We would not charge fees to hospitals, to schools, to healthcare providers per se.
Representative T. Smith.
Thank you, ma'am.
You can ask your question now.
Thank you, ma'am. You would charge mainly for out-of-state requests.
Madam Chair, Representative Smith, we could charge for that, but this would also allow us to solicit from health plans that may be utilizing our information in the registry for their
rate setting,
for their health plan employer data information system, or their HEDIS measurements.
Thank you for being so correct in that. Follow up. How much do you would you charge for patient information?
Madam Chair, Representative Smith, as I recall, we were saying a maximum of $10.
Oh, okay. And you would apply that fee on a subjective basis, or you have criteria set how you're going to administer the fees?
Madam Chair, Representative Smith, yes, according to this bill, we would not charge it to, like, schools or healthcare providers or hospitals, correct?
I'm satisfied. Thank you.
Representative Bates?
Yeah, Madam Chair, I'm assuming that you might, first of all, I should say hi. I know you both so well. I'm sorry. Paige, it's nice to see you again. No, it's always nice to see you, too.
Thank you.
I assume that you probably get requests from large insuring groups sometimes saying what percent of our population has got their immunizations done and what level are we at, and it gives them an idea of where they should put resources trying to get the immunization done. And I'm assuming that's the kind of information you'd be making available. You'd probably charge a fee if that's what you're talking about.
Correct. Madam Chair, Representative Bates, currently in the past, through our voluntary contributions, we have sent letters to certain plans and organizations saying, given this percentage, given this participation, we would anticipate that your contribution to this effort could be. And we don't see changing that. It would just allow us, if somebody decides they do not want to continue in that type of a system, then should they request it on an individual basis, then we could do it on an individual basis. They could either pay us a lump sum to cover all of their services, or they could do it on an individual basis.
You're trying to cover your costs.
Correct.
Senator Morse.
Madam Chair, could you explain a normal transaction? Is it a cash transaction or is it a billing transaction?
Madam Chair, Senator Morse, it would be a billing transaction. Currently, individuals utilize the immunization registry from their office. An individual provider can, for example, a clinic can say, tomorrow we have these families coming into our clinic tomorrow. We want to run that information through the immunization register to see where the kid's status is for immunizations. Then they would have that information for those children that are coming into their clinic the next day. There's no fee, no money exchanged at that time. This would be purely from an administrative standpoint to say this is what the utilization would be. Now, in a clinical setting, we would not charge them, but if they were doing that in behalf of their plan and their plan was not participating in the immunization registry, we would then levy a fee.
At a $10 fee, my concern is that there would be no funds left over to actually pay for the cost of, you know, providing that service. The transaction cost alone for a very small amount of transactions. My guess would be it might be as much as what you're charging.
Chair Winters, Senator Morris, for the record, my name is Paige Sipes-Metzler, and I'm the chair of the Immunization Advisory Committee. It's $10 per child. It's not $10 per inquiry. So that in a normal case, let's say if we were doing our routine quality improvement activities, we may be asking as many as 411 to 1,600 children's names at a time. And so for those health plans that have not voluntarily contributed toward the cost of retrieving such data, we are asking to charge a fee per found child. So if there is a child, an information requested, and there's no match, there's no fee.
Thank you for that. That's more logical.
Any Representative Bates?
I'd just like to point out from a user point of view and from a insurer point of view, what a great boon this program is. Prior to having it, we would commonly have kids come in from out of state or even from the immediate area, and the only records they had was a little card their mom had carried around. It had gotten lost or spoiled, and you couldn't read it. Mm-hmm. You start kids' immunization programs from scratch and do it all over again. Mm-hmm. It would cost the insurer a tremendous amount of money. The children would get unnecessary exposure for possible side effects, and they get the pain and discomfort of those shots as well as the cost. This has eliminated all that, and it's just amazing how well the program works. I mean, we call in sometimes the same day mm-hmm. when the kids are in front of us because the parents mm-hmm. forgot to bring the shot record in, and we get the information almost instantaneously, and we can make a decision at that point. It is an incredibly wonderful program. Now, it's unfortunate. What it sounds like to me is some of the people who are advantaged by this program, some of the insurers who are saving money, huge amounts of money in immunization, have elected not to take part in the program. So this is a way of saying to them, well, if you don't want to take part, we understand, but mm-hmm. when your doctor calls in and wants to know what's going on, we're going to have to levy a fee on you. Okay? So I think it's, I understand what you're trying to do here. Very reasonable.
Any additional questions? Dr. Bates, Representative Bates.
Whatever.
You want to make the motion?
I move 2244.
Wait a minute, just a second.
Excuse me. I'm sorry, Madam Chair, Representative Bates. I forgot to mention the -3 amendments, Katie. Nicely informed me. I was so busy thinking about the concept of the registry that I forgot. In our new times, in our changing times that we have, we also wanted to be able to have the ability to utilize the registry should a should another event occur where we would need it to record immunizations on individuals, such as if there we needed to do a mass smallpox vaccination or any bioterrorism type of activity. Currently, our immunization registry is only utilized for children up to the age of 18. But given the systematic development of that registry, it was felt that it would be a good thing to build upon should we have some type of an event that we would need to record immunization. So instead of having to create another system for that, we said outside of the usual parameters, we could utilize the immunization registry. So that is the -3 amendment to this bill.
Representative Bates.
Madam Chair, could I move the -3 amendments to House Bill 2244?
Representative Bates moves the -3 amendments to House Bill 2244. Is there any objection? Senator Moore.
Not an objection, just a question of clarification.
Sure.
The paragraph, Section 4, Paragraph 2, this has been reviewed with respect to the Health Insurance Portability Accountability Act.
Madam Chair, Senator Moore, yes. all of the things that we would do within the registry would be with an assurance to the confidentiality and the security of the data. In these situations where there's a public health concern or a public health threat, we would need to be able to have the ability to record that information. But it would not be done to the jeopardy of the individual client, but to help facilitate the system. For example, an example given would be, what if we had to have mass anthrax vaccinations for something? Those tend to be two immunizations. We would be able to use the registry to put that information in and then to recall the individual for their second dose. So, but we wouldn't be giving that information out to anybody other than who needed it for that particular purpose. So that would confirm to the confidentiality requirements. Does that make sense?
Thank you.
Okay. Any additional questions? Is there any objection to the -3 amendments?
Madam Chair, I move House Bill 2244 as amended. It's going to the floor to full.
It goes to full.
To full Ways and Means with the due pass recommendation.
Representative Bates moves House Bill 2244 as amended to be reported out with the due pass to the full committee. Is there any objection? We'll have to think for carriers. I've asked, thank you very much. I've asked Cindy, who you have ahead of time, to provide you with next week's schedule. How about that? And the bills that we will be hearing next week, and which ones will be and the ones that will be possible work session, and those that, you know, may or may not be, where we'll just be having hearings, so that you can have time this coming weekend to have some review and some work done, preliminary work, before we come into committee on Monday. We have next week hearing the long-term care ombudsman's budget on Monday. We will also be hearing House Bill 2522, which requires not only the ombudsman but the long-term care, but all the other ombudsmen to submit a quarterly report to the governor, so that there's some information flow there. And then on Tuesday, we have House Bill 2288, which is relating to human services budget determination for Type B area hospitals. And then Wednesday, there's four grant applications that you will be hearing on Wednesday. And I'm trying to get your Thursday calendar full, too, so that you will have Make sure that we're staying busy.
Is that coming to our office?
It's going to come to your office, and it will have the attachments of all of the appropriate information so that you have it ahead of time. But I just wanted to let you know that it's coming, and so that you have work ahead of you. And we won't meet until Monday. Hope everybody have a wonderful weekend. Some of you I will see tomorrow. Yes, Reverend.
See you tomorrow.
Can I make a quick comment?
Yes, you may.
There are, as you and I discussed this morning, there are a large number of bills that have some significance to them which do not affect the general fund, which we have not been able to bring forth this committee. And I would, I'm going to lobby our co-chairs, if they're listening up there, to allow us to start working those bills. The chair has been very supportive in this, and I know she's concerned about time and having the time to do these bills properly, and I'd like to be supportive of her bringing those bills forward.
But what we're currently, as you know, as we begin to push for budgets, we need to be able to begin pushing for those bills that members have a desire to hear. If you have some, would you please get a memorandum to me so that I can begin to make sure we're getting this heard. We know that if we don't begin to hear them, we'll never get them to the floor. So that's Representative Bates and I met this morning, and so if you have some, please advise me. Senator Shields.
I would just remind us all, we've probably heard this, that this is National Hunger Awareness Day, and we have several bills related to hunger,
that's on
farmers
the
market and stuff.
That's
like
on
that.
The list. But you can send me a reminder note. And Rosie's there to remind us. Rosie and Rosette's there to remind us on a continual basis of the need for resources to feed the hungry in our community. So, Senator Gordley.
Thank you. I would also ask that we look at, and I will send you a memo, I believe it's Senate Bill 540-something. it has to do with a human impact statement, making sure that there's a human impact statement on all of
Lee
the
Hazelwood.
Human resources budgets. Mm-hmm. Yes, Mr. Hazelwood has been very diligent in talking with, I believe, all of us about the importance of this legislation, and I would hope that we would be able to bring that forward as well.
Thank you. If there's no further issues or items to be discussed, we are adjourned until Monday.